Kasberger against Astru is our next case for argument this morning. Mr. Duncan.
May it please the court, counsel. On February 2, 2004, the medical record contained in the transcript before this court stated that John Kasberger was a 21-year-old man with significant psychiatric problems, including ADD, and quoting, now with real poor concentration skills, social phobia, panic attacks with elements of agoraphobia, or obsessive compulsive disorders. Kasberger was reporting obsessing with respect to food, requiring that food be opened in a certain way. He required hamburger patties at Burger King to be perfectly round and centered in the bun, or he could not eat it. He noted that he rarely left his bedroom and used his computer a lot. Very poor functionality was noted. Dr. Spergman noted that he was tried on a number of psychiatric medications that he stopped because of side effects. At that time, he was assessed with social phobia disorder with panic attacks and also elements of agoraphobia with obsessive compulsive disorder. What makes this information significant is that this is information developed after the state agency made its assessment and after Dr. Harlan Heintz completed a consultative report. Central to this case is the IME called to the hearing, Dr. Michael Lace, who indicated in his testimony that he relied on these records, records contained within Exhibit 13F of the transcript, informing his opinion, an opinion rejected by the administrative law judge. The issue at hand is at what point the court's deferential standard given to the commissioner and ultimately to the ALJ gives way to an uncritical rubber stamp. This is the issue that will receive the most attention in my argument. However, a secondary argument is the fact that the ALJ failed to comply with the relevant law in regards to establishing his residual functional capacity assessment, specifically in creating the hypothetical question, which failed to include all of the information necessary and found within the record. Dr. Michael Lace testified that Kasberger met the listing for 12.06. Nevertheless, the ALJ rejected that opinion and found that Kasberger did not meet the listing. Such an action improperly discounted the testimony of Dr. Lace, who was an impartial medical expert.
Lace actually didn't examine Kasberger, did he?
No, Your Honor, but the I would point out that the regulations for Social Security make a distinction of three levels of medical examinations, the first being that the individual is a treating physician. The second is that they are an examining or medical examiner, where they may have an opportunity to see or view the defendant or the claimant. And the third is that they're only consultative and that they don't do any examination. Mm-hmm. Even though Dr. Lace had no opportunity to examine Mr. Kasberger, the opportunity to be present for his testimony is critical. He himself indicated that that was a factor that he considered in this. In the number of hearings that I have had where medical experts, mental health professionals, will always rely upon the testimony and will actually undertake their own form of questioning many times to determine whether there is a basis for a mental health examination within the context of the Social Security hearing. They're looking for flat affect. They're looking for failure to make eye contact, other such things, and that's all relevant and poignant.
Well, what specifically about his concentration, persistence, and pace had changed between the summer of 03 and February 04, which I think February 04 was when Dr. Lacey had, those were the last materials he really relied on. So what's the change between the summer of 03 and February of 04?
Your Honor, as I read the transcript, it appears that he was in a decline, a degeneration of his overall condition. There were no reports within the record prior to that evidence of elements or more significant elements of agoraphobia or obsessive-compulsive disorder. There were no reports within the record whatsoever of problems eating food at Burger King or having to have things put in a certain way. What was happening is as this gentleman was growing older, his condition was getting worse. And you can see the pattern of conduct and the behavior of how he was moving through seeming to get steadily worse as time went by. The commissioner argues that the ALJ reviewed the record as a whole and was correct in discounting Dr. Lay's. But to show the fallacy of the commissioner's argument, one only has to present a hypothetical situation very similar to this. The state agency doctors discounted claimant's back complaints because of a lack of objective findings. Subsequently, an MRI shows herniations and spinal stenosis. Would it be appropriate for an ALJ to discount the results of the MRI? The response should be no, but an MRI is different, or because an MRI is admittedly different, because it involves objective evidence.
Well, counsel, I thought the dispute here was not really over the fundamental diagnosis, but over the extent to which it affects your client's concentration, persistence, and pace, that aspect of the listing, not the basic diagnosis.
Correct, but in this particular case, the commissioner has argued, Your Honor, that the ALJ was correct in discounting Dr. Lace's opinion in regards to the specific finding or the level of finding, which is that he met the listing because with regard to concentration and persistence and pace, it was a marked as opposed to a moderate level. And as a result of that, that little distinction is the difference between winning at step three of the sequential process and not winning at step three of the sequential process, because you have to have two of the four factors under 12.06 of the list of impairments for affective disorder in order to qualify for disability.
Right. And it's my understanding that the ALJ disregarded that aspect of Dr. Lace's opinion based on other objective record evidence about your client's other life activities, and also including that he had maintained some sort of a part-time job in apparently groundskeeping, something like that. And what was wrong with that in terms of the ALJ's discretion to weigh and evaluate the competing evidence?
Well, again, I guess the analogy I was making, judges, is that it would be inappropriate for an MRI to necessarily be discounted, but by the same token, Dr. Lace's opinion, based on all of the evidence, would be improperly discounted. The key in this is that at what point does the judge leap, or the ALJ leap from making a decision based on the weighing of the evidence to making his own findings, becoming a doctor in and of himself and making his own medical findings. And in this particular case, the only medical opinion that it specifically addressed the issue of concentration, persistence, and pace being moderate versus marked was Dr. Lace. None of the other medical opinions come into play. And the commissioner's argument that it's not, that this is just the ALJ undertaking his normal assessment does not fly in this particular case, because there has to be some medical substantiation of it. With a doctor present, the doctor should have been asked, doesn't these findings, doesn't his ability to work, doesn't this happen, you know, his mowing or having a part-time job, doesn't this reflect upon his ability to have concentration, persistence, and pace? That was never asked. And as I pointed out in my brief, under Rule 702 and under case law in this circuit, I believe Judge Easterbrook wrote the decision indicating that...
It doesn't matter who writes particular decisions of the court.
Okay. But indicated that 702 does apply, at least, or should be considered. In this particular case, if the ALJ disagreed with the medical opinion, then the ALJ should have inquired further of Dr. Lace as to why these factors should or should not have applied, and that was not done. There is no medical substantiation, and that's the distinction.
Thank you, Mr. Duncan. Ms. Cohen.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Carol Cohn, representing the Commissioner of Social Security. Initially, as we have stated, it's well recognized that Mr. Kassberger had some very significant mental impairment here. And as the court below stated, the issue is not how well he functions in life and in all aspects of life, but whether he's disabled under the law. With regard to the listings, the crucial issue, as you have alluded to, is whether his concentration and persistence and pace was markedly or moderately limited. The brunt of the argument by Mr. Kassberger is that the ALJ erred by failing to adopt Dr. Lace's opinion. This is a misplaced argument for a number of reasons. Initially, the argument that Dr. Lace saw evidence that was not available to other doctors in the record is misplaced because the evidence after Dr. Heinz's evaluation fails to show significant or any diminution in Mr. Kassberger's ability to concentrate, to perform in the area of concentration, persistence, and pace. Dr. Spegman, the treating physician's records, show that he and his mother indicated that his panic attacks may have worsened, but as the ALJ pointed out, he continued to work, albeit on a part-time basis, but in 2004 he told, which was well after Dr. Heinz's evaluation, he told the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation that during one period he worked 19 hours in 2 weeks, which is double the 4 hours that he was saying he worked during the week. Furthermore, he said he didn't work more, not because of his impairment, but because it depended on how much work was available, how much it rained, and how much grass there was to mow, etc. His mother and he both testified that he only left the house once a week. That not clear how that goes to concentration, persistence, and pace, but in any case, the mother also testified that he drove her to work, and it's not entirely clear that that once a week was the case. Furthermore, counsel argues that there was no other medical evidence or opinion regarding concentration, persistence, and pace. Well, Dr. Heinz didn't fill out a form with regard to the listings per se. His report indicated that Mr. Kassberger's level of attention, concentration, and pace appeared to be average, that he had the necessary attention and concentration for the task at hand. The regulations say, with regard to attention and so forth, look at the ability to do such activities as serial threes, which he could do. So that level of medical evaluation was, in fact, in the record and could be considered by the ALJ. As I indicated, the ALJ was not required to adopt Dr. Lace's opinion, and the argument made that the ALJ made a medical finding with regard to evaluating the B criteria is misplaced because the regulations make perfectly clear that, in fact, the finding as to whether an individual meets a listing is a legal opinion and that the ALJ is required to make that finding, weighing the record as a whole and looking at all the factors one evaluates in looking at doctors' opinions, such as support, consistency, and the like. The ALJ, with regard to the residual functional capacity, gave Mr. Kassberger a very limited RFC. Low-stress work, minimal industry standards for maintaining pace and persistence, minimal changes in the job, the ability to take short breaks to compose himself, no public contact, and brief and superficial contact with others, such as working alone or around one or two other people. He stated that he adopted the limitations reflected in Dr. Heinz's report. This is very close to the RFC given in the second part of Dr. Lace's opinion and is supported by substantial evidence. And if you have no further questions, I will ask that you affirm the commissioner's decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cohen. Anything further, Mr. Duncan?
Very briefly. I just wanted to touch very briefly, Your Honor, on the issue of the second issue that was raised, and that is the hypothetical question started to raise. But in this particular case, I would just point out to the court that this court, at least in the Young case, did indicate that it was insufficient for an administrative law judge to simply find simple, routine, repetitive, low-stress work accompanying or encompassing all of the limitations that are associated with a mental residual functional capacity questionnaire. The commissioner's argument that was sufficient is defective. Because of that, there must be more. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.